holding for a lucrative trade. Beaten, bartered, broken in until I obey.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Carissa Phelps, an attorney and motivational speaker and a youth advocate who works as part of a global collective to help local and international survivors of sex trafficking rebuild their lives. Her story was the subject of an award-winning documentary, Carissa, and she is the co-author of Runaway Girl, Escaping Life on the Streets, One Helping Hand at a Time. Welcome to Background Briefing, Carissa Phelps.
Thanks, Ian.
And on Tuesday in New York, both Mitt Romney and President Obama spoke at the Clinton Global Initiative. Mitt Romney spoke about freedom of markets, whereas the president spoke about the slavery of human beings and the tragedy of human trafficking. What's your sense of what he has talked about in terms of the administration's efforts to address this global and very much local problem here in the United States?
Well, I know that a lot has been done with the State Department and work on sending experts out around the country to draft legislation and assist, you know, in areas where trafficking has not been identified as a problem, and that's great. We could do more as far as creating opportunities, and I think that Romney touched on that, you know, that we have to have sustainable opportunities. People need jobs to do. You can't just expect slavery to end and not create opportunities, and so that I think both of them could have an impact, both creating opportunities overseas and then also the awareness raising and drafting of legislation that has gone on under Obama's administration.
Well, of course, it's not often that you hear the President of the United States talking about human slavery and the modern form of slavery in terms of sex trafficking and in terms of people working in factories and fields on fishing boats, toiling for little to no pay, getting beaten. And then, of course, he went on to talk about when a little girl is sold by her impoverished families, girls my daughter's age, run away from home or is lured by the false promise of a better life and then imprisoned in a brothel and tortured if she resists. That's slavery. It's barbaric and it's evil and it has no place in the civilized world. I haven't heard that before from a United States president. So,
right. I mean, I think that's pretty profound that he was talking on it and on point on everything he said, and it should raise awareness that it is an issue globally and also locally. There was talk about it locally as far as the runaway concern. Also, labor trafficking is a local problem, and we have to work on that issue locally. And it's a long, hard road. That's the only thing I wish he would have maybe said. It's not easy, and it's not just about raising awareness anymore. Now it's taking action.
So tell me about what he said in terms, the president said, in terms of efforts on the part of his administration to educate law enforcement and educators about the telltale signs of human trafficking. Now, as one who's been a victim of human trafficking, from your experience, do you think that the law enforcement people and educators and others that would deal with this problem really are aware of the scope of this problem?
No, I think, and I don't think it could be just a law enforcement initiative either, and that was a problem that started way back when the Traffic Victim Protection Act was originally funded. The only funding that came through was for law enforcement, and so service providers were not funded, and partnerships failed because it's not sustainable if you're working with an unfunded initiative. But law enforcement has done their part in raising awareness, and there are some great, great, great task force out there in law enforcement that are doing their job. And it's a culture shift, so it takes time. And I still see young women and girls that have run away that are exploited and then re-victimized by by law enforcement and not-so-just system.
Again, I'm speaking with Carissa Phelps, who's an attorney, a motivational speaker, and a youth advocate who works as part of a global collective to help local and international survivors of sex trafficking rebuild their lives. Her story was the subject of an award-winning documentary, Carissa, and she's the co-author of Runaway Girl, Escaping Life on the Streets, One Helping Hand at a Time. So your book is a very, very raw and honest account of what happened to you growing up in a family with 11 brothers and sisters in competing for food, sleeping around at your friends' places, and eventually your mother got tired of it and put you into a juvenile hall. And then you were back on the streets, ran away, and then running, of course, is a constant metaphor, I guess, in the story. And then eventually you kidnapped by a pimp and forced into prostitution. One of the things I found very powerful metaphorically in your book, and one of the phrases, is how you had to learn to run towards healing. So is that pervasive amongst victims of sex trafficking, that their self-worth is so damaged that they may reject a helping hand if indeed it ever comes their way?
Absolutely. Trust is broken down, and trust is, it often leads to them being harmed. And so being trafficked and then someone reaching out with a helping hand, it's not always met with joy. You know, it's hard to receive help if you don't trust people in general. And so working with young women over the last 5 years, I've been able to see as well that it takes time. It takes time for that trust to build up, and the healing process takes years. One young woman recently said to me, you know, 6 months is not enough to deal with 21 years. And she had, you know, her abuse and neglect started, you know, at birth, and so she was dealing with a lot. And I just believe that we don't always have a very patient system where people can heal in the way that they need to. And so I believe in offering more support to survivors.
So, Carissa Phelps, let's talk about the scope of the problem and the work that you do, who you work with, and your understanding of how pervasive it is. Because the president, in his speech at the Clinton Global Initiative, said we've got to call it by its true name, modern slavery. And again, I don't think the average American is necessarily aware of this problem and how pervasive it is. So give us your, you know, since you've, you know, have very much a firsthand experience in this, give us your understanding of the problem and who's dealing with it.
Well, there's not great research out there. Polaris Project has done some studies, and so has Shared Hope International, to look at the problem here. We know that runaways are at risk, and that as soon as they're on the street, they're vulnerable, and they will be approached more than likely by someone who is going to want to traffic them in some way or exploit them in some way. And that's what we need to stop. That's why we need to have more beds for runaway youth, more homeless shelters for runaway youth, more shelters that focus on their needs and what their comfort level is to be as far as being in a shelter. And so more youth-focused outreach and shelters, I think, is critical. And then recognizing that trafficking, it's not just about sex trafficking in the U.S., there is labor trafficking as well. And so there are just different types of businesses that exploit youth, and off the top of my head, like magazine sales or some door-to-door activities that could be exploiting youth that we haven't really looked into and taken action against enough. And the other thing is, people in almost every community, when I go and speak, small communities in Kentucky, in Kansas, in Montana, they remind me that it's a problem everywhere, that it's not just in urban areas as maybe like movies would portray. It's a problem everywhere, and so we have to have local responses in place, local protocols in place that really, without them, we're going to have gaps in our service, because the service providers have to be local. It doesn't matter what we do on an issue level. If there's not people actually acting when someone is exploited locally, then, and a team of people usually, then that then we'll be failing.
But my understanding is that this is not a small problem here. One in seven American children apparently will run away from home. And one out of three will be asked, as you were, to take care of someone in the worst possible sense there. And the average age at which street children are bought and sold for purposes of sex is between 12 and 14. And
yes, I think people would be surprised if the very sad thing is that these are voiceless children who are oftentimes have been arrested, locked up, you know, and I hear the stories of as young as 8 years old when it started. And sometimes there are neighborhoods that are dealing with generations of the exploitation. So great-grandmother, grandmother, mom, you know, four or five generations of exploitation in their family, and it becomes normalized. So we don't have responses built up to deal with that yet either.
So tell us about, just because it's an unusual that somebody could both have the experiences that you have and come out on the other side and not only be healed, but to want to dedicate yourself to healing others. Tell us about your most vulnerable moment and how you were, as a runaway, were essentially kidnapped by this pimp called Icy.
Well, as a runaway, I actually first was taken into sex slavery by my friend's uncle, who took me to a location where he was going to house me and offer me housing and just basic necessities like food and, you know, bring me a comb and a toothbrush if I would be his sexual slave. And that was the exchange. You take care of me, I'll take care of you. And I knew what it meant. And when I was trying to escape from that situation was when I met a woman who had been victimized and trafficked by Icy, this pimp. And she was really beat up, and I tried to help her. That was my heart. I wanted to help her. And I was 12 years old. All I had was a room that this friend's uncle had gotten me. And I took her back to it, and I let her get herself cleaned up a little. She was 6 months pregnant, beat up, and I just wanted to help her. And when she got there, she started to tell me how they needed money to get their car out of impound, and that she was, you know, not able to make money because of her situation, because of being pregnant and beat up. And could she call her boyfriend? And her boyfriend then was Icy, who asked me to do them a favor, to go out and make this money for them. And as a 12-year-old wanting to help people, I thought I was doing the right thing for them. And that's how it happens. It's manipulation. It's some sort of, you know, you'll be a part of my family, or we'll love you. And that's missing in the life of that child. And they don't get it at juvenile hall or in group homes. So when someone offers it to them, they're willing to do just about anything.
So the president, in his speech on Tuesday before the Clinton Global Initiative, talking about the scourge of human slavery and human trafficking, both globally and in the United States, did refer to the notion of a young girl trapped in that brothel, in that kind of life, crying herself to sleep every night. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going to go, and I didn't think that I was going to live very long. And the days and the nights were filled with rape, and it didn't stop. It was going to be a very brutal life, and I could see that, and I couldn't get away. Even sometimes the door was unlocked because there was a deadbolt on the inside, and I didn't have a key to it. But sometimes if it was unlocked, I had the chance, it would look like, to escape, but I had nowhere to go, and I had no sense of where I was, and I had been traumatized and victimized and raped at gunpoint and choked and told I was nothing and that I belonged to someone and that I belonged to serve someone. And so when that door was open, I had trouble even leaving, and that was just a short period of my life. That was only 10 days. I work with young women who have been in that situation for years.
Again, I'm speaking with Caressa Phelps, who is an attorney and motivational speaker and youth advocate who works as part of a global collective to help local and international survivors of sex trafficking rebuild their lives. Her story was the subject of the award-winning documentary Caressa, and she is the co-author of Runaway Girl, Escaping Life on the Streets, One Helping Hand at a Time. So just in the last few minutes, Caressa, let's turn to the good people that happened in your life and how they brought you out of this darkness.
Ron Jenkins, by far, was the most amazing person that I met, the first person that was happy to see me every day. And even though it was in juvenile hall, I was very fortunate to meet someone like him who wanted to help me. And it was important to me that he was who he was, that he had lived a life himself growing up in South Central and been surrounded by drugs and violence, and himself had been in foster care. And I didn't feel judged by him, and so I was able to, when he asked me to tell him what happened, how did I get to this place where I was facing, you know, it looked like maybe death or prison was in my future. When he asked me, I was able to tell him, and that was that was the critical turning point in my life. And he did not respond with disgust or any type of negative feelings. He said, write it down. And he had me start to journal and share my story. And as I did, he got me help. He got me connected to people. He talked to my teachers. He became like a surrogate parent to me. And he took just a big interest in my healing. And it was amazing. When he did, other people did too. And so this math teacher photocopied an algebra book, and she was amazing, Mrs. W., Mrs. Wegerman. And she taught me algebra by photocopying a book 3 chapters at a time and letting me do the problems and giving me a test at the end of it. And so really I taught myself algebra in juvenile hall, and that boosted my self-esteem with every single problem that I got right. I got to find out I was good at something, and I got passionate about it.
And obviously you finally got an education and indeed got a law degree from UCLA. What made you choose that path, the law?
Well, my undergraduate was in math, and I was going into law for business law, actually. I wanted to figure out how I could change things on the business side of things to make things better, more just. And then I ended up adding an MBA as well, so I got the law degree and MBA from UCLA, and that really expanded my view of the world and gave me more tools and resources to do the work that I do today.
So just in closing then, Carissa Phelps, back to President Obama's speech before the Clinton Global Initiative, talking about the modern form of human bondage, both slavery in terms of people who are desperate for work and find themselves trapped in factories, fishing boats, in a field, toiling for little or no pay, beaten if they try to escape, and then of course, the other form of slavery, and he also mentioned the slavery of boy soldiers turned into killers or forced to kill or be killed, and then the human sex trafficking as well. Most people listening are not aware of how pervasive the problem is here in the United States, and how, you know, in every town and neighborhood in the United States, you mentioned you've traveled throughout the Midwest and Wyoming and states like that, where you're giving these motivational speeches. What do you think our audience needs to know from you, from your experience? And more importantly, what can they do?
My initiative now is to connect with local survivors. I truly believe that they have the answers and the solutions. They know what's going on in this situation, and they know their path to healing and can help us understand what is available in our local communities that we can leverage and kind of use for other survivors that we're assisting, and then what is missing and what would have helped them. So I would ask anybody in any community to reach out to local survivors who are doing work in their community and strengthen their efforts and support them in what they're doing, learn from them, and talk to people who have survived this more, but also have them assist you in building a response.
But just in terms of what the president said, in terms of his administration's initiatives, are there any ways that citizens can detect what's going on right under their noses and do something about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. A school recently in a very small community had a 12-year-old missing, and she was a runaway, and most people just expected this bad behavior from this runaway girl. But what came out was that she was with a 20-year-old, quote-unquote, boyfriend, and the response needs to be more urgent than what people do right now. They put the blame on the kid, usually, 12 years old, 13 years old. They want to say, oh, you know, she's a very bad kid, and not respond appropriately. And so when a child that's 12 or 13 is missing from school or home or their placement, wherever they are, we need to do more investigating and elevate it as we would with any other missing child.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Carissa Phelps.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Carissa Phelps, who's an attorney, a motivational speaker, and a youth advocate who works as part of the global initiative to help local and international survivors of sex trafficking rebuild their lives. Her story was the subject of the award-winning documentary Carissa, and she is the co-author of Runaway Girl, Escaping Life on the Streets, One Helping Hand at a Time. And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producers Michelle Manos and Tarek Mohammed. This program is available for streaming and podcasting at ianmasters.com, where we welcome your comments. And the conversation continues online at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Time was high in America. A lady dressed in white with a man she loved, standing along the side of the pickup truck. A shot rang out in the night, just when everything seemed right. Another headline written down in America. The guy that lived next door in 305 disappear.